一个主入学哈 ，OK， 有学生们会把神学当作是主入学哈，它是一个研究所，是一个 graduate level 的一个神学院，我想大家考圣光也应该有这个认知哈，所以圣光的学习是很多面向的。那么我们今天有这个荣誉请到就是德国的这个 Mainz 大学的这个教授，他是潘文华在德国研究的一个专家哈。那么我也感谢郑念月会帮我们翻译哈。我想这样一个学习对我们学生很有帮助不只是了解到我们教会的一些的特别聚会的讲员，但是对整个神学在二十世纪的发展，我想这个对学生来学习是很有帮助的。所以我们很高兴今天欢迎到我们的讲台，就是Dr. Teach， welcome to come to our seminary， and we'll have you come up here to present your paper。Thank you.
Thank you very much for the invitation. It's a pleasure and an honor for me to be here. It's my first time to Taiwan, so I'm very excited to get to know your country.Thank you very much for inviting me to come here.
很高兴我能够来到这边，我也谢谢有这个荣幸受到贵校的邀请来这边演讲。我第一次来到台湾，感觉非常兴奋。
I will speak about Bonhoeffer today and will try to introduce you to his writings, to his later writings which he wrote in prison.
我今天要讲的是有关于潘霍华他晚期的作品，特别是在他监狱里面的一些作品。
And maybe some of you know that Bonhoeffer was arrested in 1943 because he took part in the assassination attempt to kill Adolf Hitler.
也许各位知道潘霍华他在1943年被捕入狱，因为他参与了谋刺希特勒的行动。
And he was arrested and he stayed in prison for 2 years.And then was killed by the Nazis.
他被关在监狱几乎两年啊，然后最后被纳粹所杀。
And during that time in prison, he wrote the letters about which I'm going to speak today.
在这两年期间，他在监狱里面写了一些书信，后来这个书信就出书了啊。那我们今天所要讲就是关于这样一个文本。
So whoever asks whether Dietrich Bonhoeffer's theology still has any relevance today cannot avoid the topic on which I'm going to speak in the following minutes. For Bonhoeffer's reflection on religion and his critique of religion are strongly linked to the former times, to the situation in which Bonhoeffer wrote them. If this is the case, can they then have any relevance for us today who live in a very differenthistorical situation.
凡是问到潘霍华的神学在今天还有什么一些世切性的人，不可能不会接触到我们今天所要述及的主题。那潘霍华他对于宗教还有宗教批判的一些看法，当然有他的一个时代性。那潘霍华这些看法对于今天啊，特别他死后这么长的一段时间的今天啊，这样一个不同的历史情境，是不是还有他的切实性。
During his whole life, Bonhoeffer constantly discussed questions of religion. Yet most intensely he considered religion during his time in prison in Berlin Tegel. His diagnosis was, in those letters, the time of religion has come to an end. We are facing a time of complete religionlessness. Religion now is hardly and soon won't be at all in keeping with the times. But instead of concluding the end of Christianity as well, and stating that we are as well facing a Christianity-less time, Bonhoeffer calls for a religion-less Christianity.
潘霍华在他的一生中一直在思想宗教的问题，特别是在他被监禁的这两年期间，他以一种特殊的方式来反省宗教的问题。他发现到宗教的时代已经结束了，我们正走向一个完全没有宗教的时代。他认为宗教已经不合潮流了，但是潘霍华并没有从这个逻辑继续说， 基督教已经走到尽头，我们正走向一个没有基督教的时代。他不是这样，他反而要求一个没有宗教的基督教。
When Bonhoeffer's texts written in prison were published in 1951 under the title Resistance and Surrender, or in English, Letters and Papers from Prison, they first caused irritation, but then also a lot of enthusiasm. In the 16th and the 17th of the 20th century, people passionately discussed Bonhoeffer's thesis. Finally, somebody is freeing Christianity from false, much too traditional ideas.Finally, somebody dares to consider a Christendom which does justice to the shape of that time.
当潘霍华在监狱中写的短文还有书信在1951年以狱中书简这样一个标题出版之后，当时许多人感到困惑，到底他在写些什么，不知道他写的是什么意思，但是不久却让很多人感到非常振奋啊，特别是在上一个世纪60年代跟70年代，就开始有一大群的学者热烈讨论潘霍华的命题。他们发现，他们认为，最后终于有一个人，把基督教希望把基督教从错误的、过分传统的观点当中解放出来。他们认为，终于有一个人敢放胆思索一个合乎当时情势的一个基督教。
For in the Western sphere, people in the 1960s and 70s were convinced that the time of religion obviously has come to an end. The world was conceived as deprived of its mystic. Scholars were convinced that we were facing a totally secularized society, at least in the Western part of this world, in which religion, if at all, only has relevance in the private sphere. People were less and less committed to church institutions, and Bonhoeffer, like a prophet, seemed to have foreseen this development. Accordingly, his answers to this situation became fundamental for many theologians in those days.
会这样的一个缘故，乃是因为当时西方人在前一个世纪的60年代跟70年代，他们有一个印象，他们会认为宗教已经走到尽头，他们认为世界已经被解除了魔咒。人们正走向一个非常世俗的一个世界，宗教在这个世俗的世界，充其量只在私人的领域有它的意义。那人跟教会机构的一个联系性已经持续的下降。他们认为潘霍华似乎以一种先知的一种角色，潘霍华具有一种预知的能力，预测的这种发展。那他们认为潘霍华对这个情势的回答，就成为那个时代许多神学家的一个基本的立场。
That we are living in a time of secularization in which religion plays no decisive role anymore, this diagnosis has changed in the current discussion in the Western sphere. No doubt the influence of the church in the West has declined, but is this also true for religion?
的确，我们是活在一个世俗化的时代，宗教不再扮演重要一个角色，至少对西方来讲。那这种评估在最近的重大的学术辩论上面有一些改变。无疑的，西方的教会它的势力越来越衰落，但是有些人会突然问，那这对宗教而言潘霍华的预测是不是依然有效呢？
The question if religion is more important in this world than Western scholars had thought came up in face of the great relevance of religion in Islamic countries, of the vividness of the religious right in the United States, and of the activity of charismatic movements in Christianity. While sociologists during the 60s and 70s expected that all countries would develop in terms of religion like the secular European countries, the industrialized United States was seen as the exception of the rule. Scholars now are beginning to ask whether Europe is the exception of the rule, in regard to the worldwide importance of religion. At the same time, in Germany, scholars have discovered in their own country how strongly religion shapes the German society. Of course, the Christian churches aren't important anymore, but religious motifs can be found everywhere. Correspondingly, German sociologists and theologians are now bringing out religious elements in the modern media, are analyzing the manifold religious rituals to which people are accustomed to, even if they haven't been to church for a long time. The academic community in Germany is talking about the religious message of fragility and salvation, which shape our society in many dimensions. It is recognized with surprise how many young people traveled to the World Youth Days in Cologne to see the Pope, and that even philosophers now are talking friendly about religion. The dominating catchword in the current German and also European debate are re-enchantment of the world, renaissance of religion, and recurrence of religion.
接下来产生的问题是这样子，实际上， 影响这个世界的宗教不是比以前更多吗？让我们看一些例子，比如说信奉伊斯兰教的国家在宗教方面所展现出的重大意义。又比如说，我们把眼光放到美国，美国宗教的右派分子，还有全世界灵恩派基督徒他所展现出来一种活力。那人们在上一个世纪的60跟70年代认为，在所有国家的从宗教的角度来看， 会像像是那个世俗化的欧洲国家一样的继续发展啊，只有美国这样一个工业化的国家是例外。可是今天到了21世纪，我们今天会问欧洲在全世界的意义上所展现出来，也许不是一个通则，可能只是一个例外。那对于德国的学者来讲，他们又很快的发现，其实 宗教在自己的国家里面所展现出在社会上影响力还是很大的。他们清楚看到，对，教会不再继续发挥强大的影响力，但是在社会的其他角落里面可以看到宗教的影子。有好一段时间，人们发现宗教的要素是存在现代的媒体当中，人们分析许多惯用的一些媒体的一些言语，他们可以发现， 其实这里面暗藏了很多宗教的仪式，即使人们很久没有去教会了。那还有很多年轻人，他们对于人生无常的一些救赎啊，或宗教信息，他们都展现出无比的兴趣。又比如说，很多年轻人他们一窝蜂的到科隆去参加世界青年日教会所举办的，为的只是要目睹教宗。那么人们也非常惊讶看到， 连以前批评基督教最凶的那些哲学家也开始对宗教讲一些好话啊。那在目前德国学术界的辩论当中，比较鲜明的主宰性的字眼是世界再度的魅化，或者是宗教的复兴，或者是宗教的回归，而不是宗教的消亡。
In the context of this discussion about the recurrence of religion, Bonhoeffer's analysis has as well been discussed anew. Almost nothing seems to be less adequate to the current times than Bonhoeffer's sociological diagnosis of the end of religion. Bonhoeffer obviously seems to have been mistaken in his analysis that people nowadays can't be religious anymore. If Bonhoeffer's diagnosis of his times was wrong, then the logical consequence seems to be that his claim for a religion as Christianity is absolutely irrelevant as well.
我们刚刚讲到那些宗教回归的这些学术讨论啊，那因着这个现象，那在潘霍华研究的学界里面，对于潘霍华的神学分析，特别是在宗教这个题目上面的一些辩论又重新被点燃。潘霍华关于宗教要走向消亡，要走向终结的这种社会学分析，似乎不合时宜，十分的不合时宜。潘霍华说，今天人们不可能再相信 虔诚的相信宗教，显然潘霍华是搞错了。那如果潘霍华对于他的时代的诊断是错误的话，啊，如果他是错的，对于时代的诊断是错的话，那么从逻辑的角度来看，他对于无宗教的基督教的说法也应该是完全不合时宜的。
Yet one should be careful not to be too rash in judgment. Bonhoeffer argues not only for developing a non-religious Christianity because of his observation that religion has come to an end, Bonhoeffer also, out of theological reasons, asks for non-religious Christianity. For his fundamental insight is, and I will try to explain this to you during the following minutes, religion contradicts the essence of Christian faith. Religion is not in accordance with the matter of the Christian faith. Not only because religion is not in accordance with the times, but also because it is not in accordance with the essence of Christian faith, a non-religious Christianity has to be developed.
但是我们在这边不可咒下断言，因为潘霍华的呼吁的一个基础啊，他说我们必须发展一种非宗教的基督教，他这样的一个呼吁并不是建立在他的观察上面，并不建立在他观察到宗教在社会中已经达到终点，宗教已经不合时宜的这样一个观察。事实上潘霍华他是从他的也从他的神学论据也从他的神学论据来要求一种非宗教的基督教。那潘霍华他基本的立场，很重要的一个基本立场，也是今天我演讲要一直强调的，潘霍华一个基本的立场是宗教抵触基督教信仰的本质，宗教不符合基督教信仰的实际内容，不只是因为宗教不合时宜，而且是因为宗教在内容上实质内容上不符合基督教信仰，所以潘霍华认为必须发展出一种非宗教的基督教。
When Bonhoeffer claims that a non-religious Christianity should be developed, then he distinguishes and separates religion and Christianity. He thus criticizes a certain form of religion in Christianity. By doing this, he reminds us of the potential of Christianity to criticize religion. The thesis of my paper is precisely in reminding us of this capability of Christianity to criticize religion lies the actuality of Bonhoeffer's theology also and especially in times of recurrence of religion or in contexts in which never any secularization or any decline of religion has taken place.
潘霍华以他对于非宗教的基督教的要求来拆解宗教跟基督教的关系，他借这个批判基督教中某种形式的宗教，某种特定形式的宗教，他指向基督教的一种宗教批判的一种潜力。那我的报告的命题是，在这种宗教批判中，潘霍华神学的切实性也刚好存在于宗教回归的时代，或者说潘霍华神学的切实性也刚好在一个没有世俗化的时代，或者在宗教思维的时代当中显得更清楚。
To make this thesis plausible, I will proceed in three steps. In the first, I will present Bonhoeffer's observation, which he wrote down in prison, that religion is not relevant for our times anymore. In the second step, I will examine his assumption that religion is not in accordance with the essence of Christian faith. And finally, in the third step, I will try to unfold the insight that especially because Bonhoeffer's diagnosis of the times is wrong and religion is still present, his claim for a non-religious Christianity has lost nothing of its relevance.
为了要让我的命题能够清楚明白地呈现在各位同学跟老师的面前，我将分成三个步骤。在第一个步骤当中，我要介绍潘霍华在狱中所写下的一些观察，也就是他观察到宗教不再合乎时宜。在第二个步骤里面，我要从他的命题，也就是宗教不符合基督教信仰实质内容这样一个命题出发。那在第三个步骤当中，我要试图让这个看法能够得出一个丰硕的一个成果。正因为潘霍华同时代的人不合宜正因为潘霍华同时代的人不合时宜，而且宗教依然存在因此潘霍华对于非宗教基督教的一个主张的切实性毫不受损。
So first, Bonhoeffer's observation that religion is not in keeping with the times anymore. In his letters from prison, Bonhoeffer states, quote, the time when people could be told what Christianity really is or who Christ really is by means of words, whether theological or pious, is over. And so is the time of inwardness and conscience, and that means the time of religion in general. We are moving towards a completely religionless time.
他说他的引言，宗教究竟是什么，或者基督究竟是谁，能够透过话语，不论是神学的或是虔诚的话语，向人述说的时代已经过去了，内在和良心的时代同样已经过去了，也就是宗教的时代也过去了，我们正走向一个完全没有宗教的时代。 人们正如他们现在这样，根本无法再虔信宗教。
For understanding what Bonhoeffer wants to say, we first have to clarify what Bonhoeffer means when using the term religion. In our daily understanding of the term, religion is a collective term for all types of adorations of powers beyond this world, every doctrine of God or the divine, everything which somehow relates to the faith of human beings. From the perspective of the theory of religion, this description doubtlessly is correct. Yet it does not help for understanding Bonhoeffer. His concept of religion does not include all those different phenomena. Rather, Bonhoeffer is working with a narrow concept of religion, which is shaped only by a few characteristics. Many things which we would call religion are not included in Bonhoeffer's term of religion. This means Bonhoeffer's critique of religion does not aim at all religious phenomena. Bonhoeffer rather names a few and very distinct features.
如果我们试图要了解潘霍华刚刚在狱中书信讲的那句话的真正的意思是什么，那我们就要首先澄清潘霍华他用宗教这个字眼，他所指的意思是什么。 假设我们试图界定宗教是什么的时候，我们会这样说：宗教是一种泛称的概念，是对于世界彼端能力，所进行的任何形式的一种尊崇。宗教是关于神或神圣的一个教义，宗教是人，一切信仰有关的事物，它涉及一切跟信仰有关系的事物。那如果从宗教的理论来看，毋庸置疑的。 这些说法刚刚的这些说法都是正确的，可是这些描述无法真正帮助我们了解潘霍华的想法。其实潘霍华他的宗教概念并没有囊括，并没有涵盖所有的宗教学上的一个定义。无疑说，潘霍华他以他自己的宗教概念，他用他自己的宗教概念来进行讨论，他的宗教概念只是。 涵盖了少数几个特征而已，而我们今天所认为的宗教，我们对宗教所有的一些看法，是潘霍华在讨论宗教的时候根本就没有涉及到的。这就意味着潘霍华的宗教批判，他的宗教批判并不是针对一切的宗教现象本身，而是说潘霍华只是指出特定局限的特征。
Bonhoeffer himself didn't make clear in greater detail whether the characteristics which he counts as religion are describing religious phenomena comprehensively. At the same time, he used the term religion so self-evidently as if exactly this would be the case. This deficit in his writings caused a lot of misinterpretations of his idea of non-religious Christianity. Some thinkers meant that Bonhoeffer wanted to exclude any form of religion, any traditional idea of God, any prayer, any cult, and so on, from the Christian faith. If we don't want to come to the same wrong conclusions, we have to ask more carefully, how does Bonhoeffer define religion?
潘霍华他本人并没有详细的叙述他所列举的特征是不是能够完全描述所有宗教现象。 同时他在使用他的宗教概念时，就非常理所当然地做一些改变，好像仿佛事实上就是这样一回事。 那这种先天上的缺陷使得人对他关于非宗教基督教的这种主张就产生了重大的误解。有人说潘霍华希望从基督教信仰当中排除宗教的任何形式还有传统的上帝观。那今天在我们分析当中，如果我们要避免这种错误，避免这种误解的话，我们就必须要探究潘霍华如何来定义宗教。
For Bonhoeffer, religion is characterized in a fourfold way. Let me first name those four elements and afterwards explain what they mean. For Bonhoeffer, religion is metaphysics, inwardness, individualism, and partiality.
对潘霍华而言，宗教它有很多含义。哦，现在指出四点。第一个，宗教就是形上学；第二个，宗教是内在性；第三个，个体主义，还有局部性。等一下，我要逐一来解释。
So first, metaphysics. The term metaphysics describes that what is beyond nature, beyond what we can size in the physical world. For Bonhoeffer, metaphysics especially means that we think God almighty, all-knowing, omnipresent, and the like. Almightiness and all-knowingness and so on are the traditional attributes which philosophy and theology thought for God to be adequate.You get those attributes by increasing attributes of the world, which you consider to be positive. For example, power or knowledge, infinitely. For example, creatures are powerful and mighty. God is almighty. Or creatures have some knowledge. God knows everything. God is omniscient. Traditional theologians thought it was okay for human beings to speak about God in such a way.They were at the same time convinced that those terms don't really grasp God's essence. They were convinced that God is beyond the world and accordingly also beyond everything which human reason can recognize and human language can express. God is beyond the boundaries of human knowledge.
首先我要讲形上学这样的一个定义啊。那形上学这个概念就标示出一切超越自然、超越一切具体可触摸的事物的层次的这个范围。那对潘霍而言，就意味着人把上帝想象成全能的、全知的、全在的。那全能、全知、全在啊，这些属性，大家在念系统神学的时候会念到这些属性，是在传统哲学跟神学上加给上帝的特征。那上帝之所以具有这些特征，在于人们把他们所认为一些正面的特征，比如说力量或是知识等这些特征，无限的向上提升。举个例子来讲，就力量啊，受造有力量，一些力量不是具有全能，可是上帝就是全能的，他无所不能。受教具有某些知识，但是上帝是全知的。那这样对于传统的上帝论是清楚的，人虽然可以用这种方法来谈论上帝，但是人们却不能借着这些概念真正触及上帝的本质。人们相信上帝超越这个世界，并且超越人们理性所能够认识的，其实上帝是超越人们认识的界限。
Bonhoeffer himself especially discusses the question of the almightiness of the metaphysical God.The metaphysical God shows his almightiness by intervening into this world from the outside, especially then when human beings reach their boundaries and are at their wit's end. Human beings call to the metaphysical God and ask him for help if they think of themselves not to be able to act anymore. The metaphysical God becomes important at the boundaries of human power.
潘霍华他以特殊的方式来探究形上学的上帝全能的问题。那这位形上学的上帝就借着从外在，从这个比界来介入我们这个现世的一个方式来展现他的全能，而且正好是在人们触及他的界限不知所措的时候，上帝就展现他的全能。当人们不知所措的时候，人们就呼求这位形上学的上帝，祈求他的帮助。那这位形上学的上帝便在人们行动的界限上面，人们能力无法所及的这个界限上面，就显得相当的重要。
Bonhoeffer here observes critically, if one thinks of God as the one who intervenes into the course of the world, then a more passive attitude on the human side is the consequence. In case of emergency, one could delegate what is to do to God.
潘霍华在这边他非常批判地观察到上帝他介入了世界的流程，这样想象的上帝就意味着人面对伦理的责任的时候就采取一种被动的态度，在严重的情况下作为行动者的这个人可能就会把责任推卸给上帝。
If the religious God becomes relevant at the boundaries of human beings, then it is no wonder that religion aims at emphasizing those boundaries. How religion does this will be discussed in a later part of this paper. Now I only want to add that religion not only locates God at the boundaries of human action, but also at some inner boundaries. Those inner boundaries are the so-called ultimate questions of death, guilt, and suffering. Bonhoeffer calls those ultimate questions the human being's inwardness. The fear of one's own death, the guilt which a human being has taken upon him or herself, and the suffering which torments him or her, all these are problems which mainly exist in the inner reality of a human being. In Bonhoeffer's judgment, religion often uses those psychic problems as link for God. Bonhoeffer observes that religion starts with the secrets known as a man's wallet, with the realm of the intimate. The religious God has his domain where we think to discover the weakness of a human being. And the religion thesis then is, only with God the human being is able to deal with the basic questions of life, with suffering, guilt, and death.
假如这位宗教的上帝，这位形上学的上帝，在人的界限上拥有地盘的话，那么宗教有兴趣，尽可能的啊，就会大力的夸耀人在这个界限上一无所能。那这如何发生？我以后下面要讲到。那在这边我要补充的是，就像前面所说的。这位宗教的上帝不仅在人们知识能力的界限上拥有他的地盘，而且他也在人的内在的界限拥有他的地盘。人们的内在界限存在于所谓的最终的问题上。什么是最终的问题呢？就是关乎死亡、罪责还有苦难的这些问题。那潘霍华把这些最终问题称呼为人的内在。对于人自身的死亡，人们加诸在自己身上的罪责，还有他折磨他的一些苦难跟恐惧，那这是人们内心所反映的一些问题。根据潘霍华对宗教的看法，这些内心的问题经常成为上帝的接触点。潘霍华观察到，宗教在人们最私密的领域中生根，就在人们认为发现人最软弱的地方，那个宗教的上帝就在那边拥有他管辖的地域。那宗教的命题是，只有借着上帝，人们才能够正确的面对生命的问题，面对他的苦难、他的罪责、他的死亡。
Out of the connection of inwardness and metaphysics arises the third characteristic of religion, individualism. Bonhoeffer defines individualism as the question of personal salvation, the individual longing for the hereafter.Religion, in his view, is shaped by the desire of the single individual for life after death. Therefore, this life on earth is seen as a wail of tears which we have to withstand somehow. It's only an event passing by.
宗教的第三个特征也就是个体主义，它这个个体主义是跟前面所讲的内在性还有形上学是有关的。那潘霍华就把个体主义定义成探究个人灵魂得救的问题，也就是个人寻求这个彼界的一个问题。那根据潘霍的观察，宗教深受个人追求死后生命这种渴望的影响，因此他们会一般的人会认为此界就今生只是一个必须忍受的一个流泪谷，只是一个暂时的必经之地。
All those elements of religion have one thing in common. They understand religion only as having to do with the marked out part of this world as something partial. Religion has its function at the outer boundaries of recognition and action, at the human weaknesses, and at the end of human life. It never deals with the human life as a whole.
所有提到这些定义都有一个共通之处，他们把宗教理解成只是从这个世界划分出来的一个某一个领域有关，因此他们把宗教理解成某种局部性的东西。宗教在知识行动的界限之外，在人的软弱之处，在人们生命的尽头等等。
Now the different aspects of Bonhoeffer's concept of religion have, I hope so, become clear. We therefore can move on to his diagnosis that religion is not in keeping with the times anymore. For Bonhoeffer, religion is no anthropological constant, but a historically conditioned and transitory expression of human beings. Human beings will become really radically religionless. Yes, he writes, this more or less is already the case. This means human beings will more and more abandon the idea of a metaphysical God who intervenes into their life from the outside. They will no longer long for the hereafter and for getting free from this world.
我们已经完全了解宗教的一个刚刚一些种种的面向，那我们现在可以转向他的一个评断，他对于他认为宗教已经不合时宜的这个评断。那根据潘霍华的一个判断，宗教并不是人类存在的一个基本的继承的事实，而是人类受到历史限制的一种暂时的表现形式。
Why will this be the case? Because human beings, in Bonhoeffer's view, don't need God anymore. Most people are able to handle their life without God. Bonhoeffer recognizes that since about the 13th century, humankind has discovered the laws by which the world lives and deals with itself in science, social and political matters, arts, ethics and religion. Natural sciences, for example, are able to explain the events in this world and the origin of species without God. Moral philosophy is grounding ethical duties without any reference to God. Modern states function without a sovereign by the grace of God. The governing people are elected by the people. In short, human beings more and more develop out of their own reason what is necessary for a successful living with each other and for the survival of humanity. They have come of age, for they have learned, as Immanuel Kant said, to use their own reason without the conducting of somebody else. This coming of age, for Bonhoeffer, is the sign of the modern world. It means the more human knowledge on the correlations of the world increases, and the more the boundaries of knowledge are pushed out, the less human beings need the, as he writes, working hypothesis called God for explaining the world.
潘霍华他认为人宗教已经不合时宜了，为什么会这样呢？因为人越来越自主。那这到底怎么样发生呢？这发生在十三世纪的时候。从那个时候开始，人们在科学上面不需要上帝就可以解释这个世界如何去运作，人们不需要上帝就可以知道物种的起源，道德哲学不需要诉诸有一个上帝就可以发展他的理论，可以为伦理的义务提出一个论据，那现代的国家也不需要上帝的恩典就可以自由的去运作，那政府是人民投票产生出来。简单的说，人们变得越来越依靠他们理性来发展。那这对于人类的生活是必要的。潘霍华说，人变得极龄成熟了 ，come of age， 他已经长大了，成熟了。因为他们如果用康德的话来讲，人们已经学习到不需要依靠他人，而只要独立的运用自己的理性就可以处理一些事情。对潘霍华来讲，那这种极龄成熟的特征乃是现代社会的一个标记，这意味着人类关于这个世界的脉络的知识如果越来越增长的话， 当人类知识越来越往外挪移的话，那么人类在解释世界的过程的时候就越来越不需要一个运作假设，这个运作假设就是上帝，不需要上帝这个前提。
This movement quote towards the autonomy of man in Bonhoeffer's view has in our times, and this is how he writes that, reached an undoubted completion. Man has learned to deal with himself in all questions of importance without resource to the working hypothesis called God. It is becoming evident that everything gets along without God. And in fact, still Bonhoeffer's words, just as well as before. God as a working hypothesis in morals, politics, or science has been surmounted and abolished. And Bonhoeffer adds, as well for the ultimate questions of suffering, guilt, and death, it is, again a quote, is now possible to find human answers that take no account whatever of God. In point of fact, people deal with these questions without God, it has always been so. End of quote.
啊，根据潘霍华的看法，人们就越来越变得不虔信宗教啊，然后人们越来越能够独立自主，人们不需要靠着上帝这样的一个运作的一个原则来解释世界上的一个一些种种的一个现象。人们要了解世界的过程，不需要上帝。
Up to the point, the Christian preaching has lived by the mentioned elements of religion. It has presupposed the desire for a metaphysical God in every human being and the longing for personal salvation, and has taken this up for its preaching. But now on, one can recognize that human beings less and less are approachable through this, and this is confusing the church fundamentally, Bonhoeffer recognizes.
到目前为止，基督教教的一些讲论在讲道上面的一个主题就奠定在前面所描述的一些要素上面。那些要素就假设的人在追求这个形上学的上帝，还有这个追求自身灵魂得救这个愿望上面。那然而我们观察到越来越教会越来越观察到无法跟人在这个题目上面跟人交谈，这样的一种现象就使得教会感到非常的不安。
Bonhoeffer is observing that the church reacted to this confusion in a twofold way. The church, on the one hand, quote, resisted this development with apologetics and has taken up arms in vain against Darwinism, for example. The church here refuses scientific results, tries to prove them wrong, which you can, for example, notice in the arguments of creationists who stick to the biblical story of creation as a literal report of the origin of the world. By this, the church tries to, says Bonhoeffer, secure space for God. It tries to hold the outer limits of humanity there where they have been from time immemorial. But through this, the church has undertaken, as Bonhoeffer calls it, a death-defying leap back to the Middle Ages. But this leap can only be reached, says Bonhoeffer, at the cost of intellectual honesty.
根据潘霍华的观察，教会他用两种方式来面对他的这种不安，啊，要抗拒这种人类自主化的一种现象。潘霍华说，这引言，他教会就抗拒这种发展，并且攻击达尔文主义的行动以属突然。教会拒绝自然科学的知识，企图证明自然科学知识是错误的，这可以从创造论者那边观察到。他们认为创世纪的记载呢是世界起源的一个报告书，那人们希望借此为上帝保留地盘，他们试图守住人们自古以来所拥有的外在的界限。于是潘霍华的引言，他说人们回到中世纪的那种致命的一击，但是潘霍华认为这样的一个举动只能够以牺牲人的至信忠诚来换取。
On the other hand, the reaction of the church consisted in adopting the autonomous worldview in regard to the outer connections of the world, but at the same time, the church proves to the autonomous world that it nevertheless cannot live without the tutelage of God. In the area of the already mentioned ultimate questions of guilt, suffering, and death, there human beings still do need God. For only God knows the answers to this question. This is the claim of the church.
根据潘霍华的 看法，教会的另外一种反应在于，虽然教会在外在世界的关联性上面采取接受自主世界的图像，哦，等于他退了一步，但是他还是企图向这个自主的世界证明什么呢？这个世界如果没有监护者，没有这个上帝的这个监护者的话，是无法生存的。那在前面我们所讲到有关于人的罪责、苦难、死亡这些终极的问题上面，人们还是需要上帝，只有上帝才能够提供这些问题的一个解答。
Bonhoeffer states smartly that the church therefore tries to, quote, demonstrate the secure, contented and happy mankind that it is really unhappy and desperate and simply unwilling to admit that it is in a predicament about which it is knowing nothing and from which only the church can rescue it. But, he continues, if a man cannot be brought to see and admit that his happiness is really an evil, his health, sickness, and his vigor, despair, then the theologian is at his wit's end.
潘霍华在他的文本当中有一点得意的论道，教会因此试图向，以下是他的引言，教会试图向那些自信自满自信满足快乐的人指出啊，他们其实是不快乐的，是绝望的人，而且只是他们不愿意承认自己是在最严重的一种无知的困境，而只有教会才能够拯救，人们不愿意接受这个事实。假若不能让人看到他的幸福其实是灾难，他的健康其实是病态，他的生命力其实是失望沮丧的话，那么潘霍华说神学家就无计可施的。若是人没有这些困难的，或是他不愿意同情那些困难的人跟他同甘共苦的话，那么上帝对他来讲其实是不相干的。
I'm again quoting Bonhoeffer. If anyone has no such difficulties, or if he refuses to go into these things, to allow himself to pity him, then he cannot be open to God.
这个句子已经翻译过了。
You've already translated it? Okay. So whom does the church reach with its concentration on the ultimate questions? In Bonhoeffer's view, only a small number of degenerated people, quote, who regard themselves as the most important thing in the world and who therefore like to busy themselves with themselves. Through these attempts to secure God's place either in the realm of world explanations and foundations or in the context of existential questions, God gets degraded, Bonhoeffer writes, to a stopgap. By this, God always is, again, Bonhoeffer's quote, smuggled into some last secret place. Bonhoeffer instead wants to frankly recognize that the world and people have come of age, and he wants not to run men down in his worldliness. For Bonhoeffer's theological thesis here is, the world come of age, the religionless world, precisely in having come of age, is, he writes, more godless and, perhaps for that very reason, nearer to God than the world before coming of age.
教会以他的这些最终的问题的坚持到底能够触及到哪些的人呢？根据潘霍华的看法，只有那些少数自认是世界上最重要的，喜欢把焦点关注在自己身上的堕落人士，他用这个堕落人士的字眼啊，透过这些尝试在解释世界的领域跟实存问题的脉络上面，就为上帝确保了他的地盘，这样上帝就成了一个塞孔之物。相反的，潘霍华希望人们能够承认，坦然承认世界以及人已经极龄成熟了，不要再破坏人在世界上的一个性质。因此潘霍华的神学命题是极龄成熟的世界，无宗教的这个世界，在他这种极龄成熟的特性当中，以下是潘霍华的引言，会比非极龄成熟的世界更与上帝无关。或许正因为如此，他就会 比未吉林成熟的世界更接近上帝，也就是说吉林成熟的世界是比较接近上帝的，为什么会这样？
So I'm coming to my second part. Boniface's thesis that religion is not in accordance to the essence of the Christian faith. Already in his early texts, Boniface contrasted religion and Christian faith. Following the great Swiss theologian Karl Barth, with whom he had studied, Boniface already in 1928 described religion as a human attempt in which we only reach the idol of our own heart, which we created in our own image. Religion, in Boniface's view, essentially lives by the conception, quote, to find in itself finally something godlike, something divine, which lifts us to the divine level, which entitles us to make demands. Religion, accordingly, is the attempt to find a way to God, and thus, quote, the ultimate, finest possibility of human beings. And this as well is true for Christianity. Boniface writes, not the Christian religion as religion is something divine. It is even more, again, only a human path to God, like the Buddhist and others are as well.
潘霍华他在很早以前就把宗教跟基督教做一个对比，他采取他的老师啊，瑞士神学家卡尔巴特的立场，在1928年就已经把宗教描写成人类大胆的冒险行动。他说，我们借这些行动只能触及我们心灵中按照我们形象所塑造的偶像，也就是宗教是人的造神运动。根据潘霍华的见解，宗教实质上依靠这种见解，什么样的见解呢？就是在自身之内发现某些像神的神圣的事物，也就是在某些使我们提升到神圣层次上的事物，某些让我们有权提出主张的这些事物上面。在这样的一种意义上，宗教就是人亲自发现通往上帝之路的一种人为的尝试，其中人最终的最精致的一种可能性。那这个对基督教来讲啊，下面的话是说得通的，这是潘霍华说的，不是说作为宗教的基督教乃是神圣的，而是说它只是人类通往上帝的一种道路，就像佛教跟其他宗教一样。
While the young Bonhoeffer takes religion as something unavoidable, for human beings always try to find their way to God, the later Bonhoeffer doesn't think that religion is unavoidable. Religion can be overcome. And even more, religion should be overcome by Christians, for it falsifies what the Christian faith is about.
对于早期的潘霍华来讲，宗教是无可避免的，但是因为人一再尝试要到上帝那边去，但是对于晚期的潘霍华来讲，宗教就不是那么无法避免的事物。他认为宗教是可以借由人来克服的，而且必须要由基督徒来克服，因为宗教伪装成基督教信仰所涉及的事物。
What the Christian faith is about, in Boniface's view, can be found in Jesus Christ, in His heaven become human, in His cross and resurrection. Here.And not in any abstract speculations and metaphysical concepts of God, we get to know who God is. Let me start with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and then show why Christ's having become human and his resurrection actually mean the same.
宗教信仰它所涉及的事物是什么呢？根据潘霍华的看法，他把这些事物指向耶稣基督，指向耶稣基督的道成肉身、钉十字架还有复活。那在这边我们就可以看到，这种看法就跟前面所讲的那种抽象的臆测的形上学的上帝观是一点都不相关。我要从十字架开始来解释，然后接着讲到道成肉身还有复活。
The cross in Boniface's observation contradicts all metaphysical concepts of God's almightiness and so on. Christ hanging on the cross is shaped by impotenceand suffering. Yet on the cross, we not simply see a human being. For Christian faith, it is God himself whom we find hanging on the cross. Consequently, God himself is suffering in Christ, especially the worst and most frightening suffering of all, being forsaken by God. Bonhoeffer takes this from Mark 15:34, where we hear Jesus cry, my God, why have you forsaken me?"
十字架的这个上帝，他完全抵触这种形上学的全能的上帝观。十字架的基督，他是透过他的软弱、无能、受苦来标示出来。那挂在十字架上的上面的，不是一个人，而是上帝本身。在这层意义上，上帝亲自在基督里面受苦，而且是一种最凄惨、最苦。可怕的苦难，我们可以从马可福音那边，耶稣所说的话，15:34，我的神，我的神，为何离弃我？这个耶稣的呼喊当中看出来。
Bonhoeffer also considers another meaning of the cross, and thus he adds, God lets himself be pushed out of the world on the cross. He is weak and powerless in the world. This God hanging there powerlessly and weak.Is, quote, the reversal of what the religious man expects from God. The Christ hanging on the cross contradicts the idea of a God who comes to the human being's aid with an almighty intervention.
潘霍华他继续思想十字架代表什么？十字架对他而言意味着，潘霍华说，上帝已允许我们把他排挤到世界之外。以至于十字架上，他在世上是软弱无能的，像这位挂在十字架上软弱无能的上帝，正跟宗教人士所期待的那个上帝是相反的。十字架上的上帝抵触那种全能的上帝观，那个可以从比界来用过透过超能力来帮助人的这种上帝的想象。
Bonhoeffer nevertheless stresses.The powerless and suffering God can help. How are we supposed to take that?
潘霍华他确认，唯有无力的、受苦的上帝才能够帮助人。那这句话应该如何理解呢？
First, through this that God himself at the cross experienced suffering and being forsaken by God, all human suffering and being forsaken by God has been labeled anew.Now, suffering and being forsaken by God have their place in God. Now, human suffering and the feeling of being forsaken by God no longer separates human beings from God. Since Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has lived through these steps, forsakenness by God doesn't exist anymore. Whenever we have the feeling of being forsaken by God, God already comes towards us.
首先上帝他亲自受苦，经历了受苦，还有上帝的一个遗弃。如此一来，人类的受苦跟他们所经历到的上帝遗弃本身就得到一个新的意涵。什么样一个新的意涵呢？受苦或是人们经历上帝的遗弃，就在上帝里面得到新的意涵。这样，人本身的受苦，甚至他所经历到的上帝的遗弃，并没有使得他跟上帝分离。为什么呢？因为从耶稣基督上帝的儿子亲自经历到这个深渊以来，就再也没有真正的上帝的遗弃。在所谓上帝遗弃的状况当中，其实上帝已经走向了我们。
And second, the powerless God tells us that we should not seek refuge in a God who intervenes into the world from the outside. We instead are forced and allowedto independently handle our life. For God has let his son handle his life independently as well. Through the cross, I'm quoting Bonhoeffer, God would have us know that we must live as men who manage our lives without him. The God who is with us is the God who forsakes us, Mark 15:34. The God who lets us live in the world without the working hypothesis of God is the God before whom we stand continually.Before and with God, we live without God.
其次，在这个软弱无能的被钉十字架的这个耶稣基督身上，我们可以认出，人不可以向一位从彼界入侵世界的这个上帝寻求庇护，而是 必须自立的面对他的生命，因为上帝亲自让他的儿子自立的、独立的面对他自己的生命。十字架的事件让我们知道，潘霍华说，我们生活为人可以不需要依赖他，与我们同在的上帝正是遗弃我们的上帝。这位使我们在世界上生存而不需要他作为运作假设的上帝，就是那一位我们必须永远站立在他面前的这个上帝。潘霍华说，我们没有上帝地生活在上帝面前，并与上帝生活在一起。
Very often these sentences were interpreted as if Bonhoeffer meant that we would have to live totally without God, like atheists, for example. But this is not what they mean. Human beings have to live without the metaphysical God. Quote, what a God as we imagine him should and could do doesn't have anything to do with the God of Jesus Christ. Unquote. But human beings are allowed to live with the God of Jesus Christ. Another quote from Bonhoeffer, it is sure that we are allowed to always live in the closeness and under the presence of God. End of quote. We don't have to wait for an almighty intervention of God in situations of need, but we can be sure that God is always close. Without God, we live before God and with God.
潘霍华的上面的这个陈述啊，就是他说我们没有上帝地生活在上帝面前，并且跟上帝生活在一起，这个非常复杂的这样一个句子，常被一些学者做这样一个诠释，仿佛潘霍华的意思是说，我们必须完全不依靠上帝生活，就像一个无神论者那样。但是潘霍华的意思并不是这样，潘霍华的意思是说，我们必须不依靠形上学的上帝来生活。潘霍华说，我们所揣想的必须并且能够做一切的这个上帝，这样一个上帝跟耶稣基督是毫无关联的。那潘霍华另一方面他说，但是我们是可以跟耶稣基督一起生活的。潘霍华的话他说，确定的是我们可以一直在上帝的临近跟临在当中生活，我们无需期望一个全能的上帝来救我们，在危难当中像超人一样的出现，但是我们可以确信上帝是一直在我们的近处，我们没有上帝的生活在上帝面前，并且跟上帝生活在一起。
This life in the company of God means dedication to the world. Quite differently from a religious attitude, you now don't constantly wait for the better hereafter, but surrender to this life with all its tasks, questions, successes, failures, and helplessnesses.
在上帝的临近这种生活，乃是意味着基督徒对于现世的一个投入。这种态度是跟宗教截然不同的。也就是说，人们现在不要再期待更好的来生或是更好的彼界，而是负责任地负起生命一切的责任跟疑问，成功跟失败，一切经历到的无可适从的事物。
That God has become human in Christ and that Christ has risen again in Bonhoeffer's view as well refers human beings to this worldThat Christ has become a real human being for Bonhoeffer means nothing else than that God has entered into this life with all its ups and downs and lived through it.
刚刚讲到十架对不对？现在要讲道成肉身跟复活。那道成肉身跟复活意味着什么呢？意味着神让人走进世界。为什么呢？基督他成为真正的人。对潘霍华来讲，他的意思就是上帝他亲自进入了这个生命的高峰与低谷，而且饱尝了这个生命的一切。
And even Christ's resurrection in Bonhoeffer's judgment does not promise, quote, redemption from cares, distress, fears and longings from sin and death in a better world beyond the grave. Quite the contrary, the Christian hope of resurrection sends a man back to his life on earthin a wholly new way, which is even more sharply defined than it is in the Old Testament. Still Bonhoeffer's quote, the Christian has no last line of escape available from earthly tasks and difficulties to the eternal. like Christ himself, "My God, why hast you forsaken me?" He must drink the earthly cup to the dregs, and only in his doing so is the crucified and risen Lord with him, and is he crucified and risen with Christ. End of Boniface quote.
潘化认为，基督的复活并不是应许，以下潘霍华的话，应许人能够脱离烦恼、危难、种种的负面的东西，而是进入一个比较好的、无忧无虑的一个彼界。不是，正好相反，潘霍华说，基督教复活的盼望，以一种全新的方式，并且以一种比旧约圣经更强烈的方式，向人指出他在尘世当中，在今生当中的生活。基督徒不许从世上的责任和困难当中逃离出来，想要遁入永恒。相反的，他必须要像基督那样饱尝地上的生活。他唯有如此，那如果基督徒唯有如此，才能够跟被钉十字架的复活者同在，而且他才能够跟被钉十字架的基督一同复活。
That the Christian God has lived through all the ups and downs of the earthly life not only contradict the religious idea of the metaphysical omniscience of God but also the religious idea of partiality. Accordingly, the Christian faith not only deals with the inner life or individually only with the salvation of one's soul, rather Christian faith has to do with the whole human being and with this world as created and preservedSubject to laws reconciled and restored.
基督教的上帝他亲自饱尝了世界上的高峰与低谷，那这也抵触了形上学上帝那种全能的上帝的宗教观，而且也抵触了局部性的这种宗教理念。相应的，基督教信仰不仅涉及人内在的或是个体主义角度下的灵魂得救，不仅包括这个层面，而且基督教更涵盖了整个人以及这个世界怎么样被创造，怎样被保守，服从律法，被复合跟更新，整个所有的层面。
That's the aim of one of his critique of religion is a new worldliness which not only avoids to run men down in his worldliness but prefers Christians to the world. Christians are, even though called forthbelonging wholly to the world. They neither escape from this world nor relate being a Christian only to a limited part of the world. Being a non-religious Christian means being worldly.
一种新的现实性证明是潘霍华宗教批判的一个目标。这种现实性不仅不破坏寄存的现实性，而且把基督徒带向这个世界。基督徒虽然是被上帝呼召出来的，但却是完全属于这个世界。他们既不脱离这个世界，也不把他们的基督徒生活局限在世界上的某一个部分。也就是说，对潘霍来讲，所谓的非宗教就意味着现世性或是现世的。
On the cross, God lets himself be pushed out of the world. This exactly is what the world come of age has done.With God. Yet the world come of age not only pushed God out, God rather lets himself be pushed out of the world. This means God has agreed to this, that the world is pushing God out of it. On the cross, God has agreed to the maturity and godlessness of this world. This and only this is the reason that the church should no longer fight against the world's coming of age.Rather, the church should welcome this, that the world's coming of age, quote, has done away with a false conception of God, end of quote. And because it does not have to be freed from a false conception of God, the world come of age, the godless world in the sense of the metaphysical God, is closer to God.
我们看到上帝允许我们把它挤到世界之外，然而这正符合成为极灵成熟的世界借着上帝所成就的一切。极灵成熟的世界不仅把上帝挤到世界之外，而且上帝也允许自己被挤到世界之外。然而这意味着世界把上帝挤出去，并且也以这种极灵成熟的方式生存着。 这是上帝所认可的。在十字架上，上帝肯定这个世界已经极灵成熟的这个事实，已经无神。所谓这个无神是指没有形上学的上帝那个无神。那这只有借着这样啊，那教会是不能否定世界已经成熟的一个原因。那根据潘霍华的看法，教会应该要欢迎这个极灵成熟的这个事实，因为它正好能够把错误的上帝观给挪去。因为极灵成熟的世界无需去除错误的上帝观，因为极灵成熟的世界已经无神，无这个没有错误的上帝观，所以就如前面所说的，他说极灵成熟的世界是比无神的上世界啊更比较接近上帝。再讲一遍，所以极灵成熟的这个所谓无神的世界是比非极灵成熟的世界，就是以前有形上学的这个世界更接近上帝。
Bonhoeffer takes the coming of age of the world seriously out of theological reasons. Yet it is notable that Bonhoeffer nevertheless does not want to leave the world its own devices. Bonhoeffer is of the opinion that the Christian faith has something to say, especially to the world come of age. For that reason, he wants to understand the world's coming of age, as he writes, better than it understands itself, namely on the basis of the gospel and in the light of Christ. End of quote. And wants to confront the human being, again Bonhoeffer's quote, with God at his strongest point. For it is true, as Bonhoeffer formulates in a quite religious language, Jesus claims for himself and the kingdom of God the whole of human life in all its manifestations. End of quote. Accordingly, Christ should become the Lord of the religionless people as well. What then does this mean?
我们看到潘霍华他用神学的论据来严肃地看待这个世界极灵成熟的事实，但是我们要注意的是，潘霍华他无意放任这个极灵成熟的世界，他认为基督教的信仰必须向极灵成熟的世界说话，因此他希望比极灵成熟的世界了解自己还深。换言之，基督教应该要从福音，从基督的角度来向这个世界说话，要比这个世界还了解自己，并且让人在他的刚强有力之点来面对上帝。因为潘霍华说以宗教的这个语汇来描述，他说基督为了自己和上帝国所要求的乃是人类生活的整体。潘霍华说基督应该成为无宗教的人的主。那究竟他这句话，基督应该成为无宗教的主的人的主，是什么意思呢？
This claim of Jesus most of all consists in the demand to live like Jesus, to be there for others, and quote, to have some share in Christ's large-heartedness by acting with responsibility and in freedom when the hour of danger comes, and by showing a real sympathy that springs not from fear, but from the liberating and redeeming love of Christ for all who suffer, end of quote. Out of this being there for others arises a new type of transcendence, the other human being, the neighbor who is within reach in any given situation. He is the transcendent.
这种主张主要存在于以下的这个要求，就像耶稣为他人而存在的这种方式当中生活，并且以下是引言，在负责任的行动当中有份于基督宽广的心胸，在自由当中把握时机，并且面对危险，并且在真正的同情当中增长。那从这种为他人而存在当中就产生一种新的形式的超越，也就是他人。那什么是他人呢？就是个别寄存的可触及的他者是超越的，这是潘霍华说的话。
These and similar sentences led to the impression that Bonhoeffer conceived his non-religious Christianity as a dispersal of all transcendence into immanence. But that is not his opinion, and this can be seen in sentences like, quote, what is above this world in the gospel is intended to exist for this world. So for Bonhoeffer, still there is something existing above this world. Mm-hmm. Or the immanence should not be, another quote from Bonhoeffer, the immanence should not be abolished too early. Mm-hmm. Meaning there will come a time where the immanence is over, and of course a transcendence beyond this immanent world is coming.
好，潘霍华说他人是超越的，那就因为这样一个句子还有类似其他句子，就会使得人把潘霍华这种非宗教的基督教误解成取消一切到彼岸的超越，那其实不应该做这样的理解，因为我们可以从下面两句话看出来，潘霍华说凡是超越这个世界的，凡是超越这个世界的将在福音当中为这个世界而存在，并且潘霍华说此界不可以提早被取消，此界当然有一天会被取消，但是不可以提早被取消。
Can I add another sentence?
Yeah. I
would like to give you another example for the last point. When Bonhoeffer was killed, when he was murdered by the Nazis, he said, "This is the end, but for me, it's the beginning."
当潘霍华被杀的时候，他说：“这是我的人生的终点，但是却是我另外一个新的开始。”
So even if his theology wants to refer us to this world and wants to say we as Christians have to live in this world as much as possible, he still believes that there is a world hereafter.
所以我们从这个例子看出来，虽然他强调基督徒应该要全心的投入这个世界，但是你可以说他可以从刚刚他所说的话看到，他相信还有另外一个世界，就是将来这个世界是他更喜爱的那个世界，但是他还是没有放弃这个世界。
Like other critics of religion before him, Bonhoeffer as well cares for this world and for not ignoring the value of this world and for not skipping the tasks of this world. Feuerbach, Marx or Nietzsche in the same way made clear that religion sometimes hinders humans to take up the task of this world. But unlike those forerunners of modern atheism, Bonhoeffer is not of the opinion that for the sake of the autonomy of the world, God has to be abolished. Rather, Bonhoeffer is convinced that the autonomy of the world and the Christian God go together. For the Christian God wants the autonomy of this world. He allows the world to let him push out of it.
潘霍华正像在他之前的许多宗教批判家那样子，潘霍华也谈论这个世界，他认为这个世界的价值是不应该被忽略的，这个世界责任也不应该被放弃的。费尔巴哈、马克思还有尼采就提出类似的一些描述，他们认为宗教就会拦阻人承担世界的责任。然而潘霍华跟这些现代的无神论者不一样的地方在于，潘霍华并没有为这个世界的自主性的缘故而废除上帝，那些人不要上帝，因为宗教会拦阻人，但是潘霍华就是为了这个世界的自主性而需要一个上帝。我们可以这样说，潘霍华认为世界的自主性跟基督教的上帝是可以相辅相成的，基督教的上帝要的是这个世界的自主性，为什么呢？因为他让自己被挤到边缘。
All in all, I hope it has become clear that when Bonhoeffer speaks of religionlessness, he not at all aims at godlessness or Christlessness. He as well doesn't want to abolish Christian spirituality. Bonhoeffer's concept of religionness does not include the end of cult or prayer.
总之，潘霍华所说的无宗教性指的不是不要上帝，不是不要基督，就像前面所说的，他所说的内容不涉及到废除基督教近前的任何形式。潘霍华所理解的无宗教性是包括崇拜跟祷告，他并没有说要让崇拜跟祷告从此从教会还有神学院消失。
And I'm coming to my third and very short part, the current relevance of Bonhoeffer's critique of religion. Bonhoeffer's critique of religion for the sake of the Christian faithis still relevant in a time in which people speak about the recurrence of religion or in which religion never was really gone. Bonhoeffer's critical attitude towards religion, or more precisely, towards a certain type of religion, makes it clear that the existence of religion in itself has no worth in itself. There are religious ideas which, at least from the perspective of Christian faith, totally miss the essence of God.
现在要进入我最后的一段，潘霍华宗教批判的切实性。就在人们说宗教回归的这个时代，或是宗教没有真正要消亡的时代当中，潘霍华为基督教的缘故对宗教所说的批判，即使在现象上面不是切合时代，但是他的宗教批判还是切合时代的。我认为潘霍华对于宗教批判的态度，或者更准确的来讲，他对宗教特定形式的批判的态度，清楚的显示，正因为宗教依然存在，所以他的论题并不是自动的就有所斩获，而是说根据基督教的信仰，一些宗教的观点并没有准确的掌握到上帝的本质。
Bonhoeffer's diagnosis that human beings cannot be religious anymore obviously has not come true. For example, Christian fundamentalists in the United States now and again reckon with a God who metaphysically intervenes into the course of the world. And in Germany, the interest in inner sensitivities hasn't vanished either. And I'm looking forward to hearing from you in the discussion afterwards about the situation here in Taiwan.But that we nowadays still have to deal with religious phenomena, in my view, not at all, leads to the conclusion that Bonhoeffer's claim for a non-religious Christianity is outdated. No, it even more reminds us of the critical potential of the Christian faith towards religion and towards types of Christian religion as well.
潘霍华说人不可能再虔信宗教。显然他的预测并没有成为真实，比如说美国基要派的信徒经常希望形上学上帝的介入，就算德国人们对于内心世界不再像以前那么感兴趣。那在台湾情况如何，我希望从等一下的讨论能够听得出来。然而我认为宗教的存在并没有使得潘霍华对于一种非宗教的基督教的一种要求失去它的切实性，不，他的要求正好让我们记起基督教信仰对于宗教批判的潜能。
It should have become clear that Bonhoeffer's considerations not at all critique all religious elements and religion as such. But if he is right that Christian faith doesn't have to do with the metaphysical God in the described sense, with individualism and inwardness and partiality, because the Christian God refers us to this world and calls us to live this life in all its dimensions,then religious phenomena which are shaped by those ideas have to be criticized from the perspective of Christian faith, nowadays in the same way as during Bonhoeffer times. Exactly, if one currently thinks to recognize a recurrence of religion, then Bonhoeffer's claim for religionless Christianity remains relevant.
好，讲到这边，我们应该要至少知道潘霍华在狱中的一些思考，他的用意不是要带出一整套的宗教批判的理论。基督教信仰对他来说，还有前面所描述的形上学的上帝、个体主义啊、内在性啊、局部性啊，这些基督教信仰所描述上帝跟这些啊这四个要素是毫无关联的。为什么呢？因为基督教的上帝把人拆到今生这个世界，并且让人饱尝生命的丰满。假如这是对的话，那么从基督教的角度来看，这四种观点有关的宗教现象，在今天啊，特别宗教回归的今天也应该受到批评。正因为人们在今天感受到宗教的回归，所以潘霍华对无宗教的基督教的要求就特别具有它的切实性，因为它的要求让人想起下面的一些例子的一些宗教是应该受到批评的。
Bonhoeffer reminds us that religion and even the Christian religion has to be criticized in the following cases. First, if it takes place at the expenses of the world and negates the intrinsic value of the world. Okay. Second, if it tempts human beings to escape this world instead of helping them to live in this world.
这让他的的要求让我们想到以下几个具有以下几个特征的一些宗教是应该受到批判的。第一个，如果这个宗教以牺牲世界为代价来扩充自己的势力，并且否定世界的价值的话，是应该受到批判的。第二个，假设宗教不帮助人投入关注这个世界，反而鼓励人逃避这个世界的话，它是应该受到批判的。
Third, if it tries to fight the autonomy and coming of age of humans and argues that human beings need God or religion and aren't able to deal with their life without them. And fourth, if it releases human beings of their responsibility of the shaping of this world. And when Bonhoeffer is correct that the Christian God is quite the opposite to what religious people expect of God, then religion finally has to be criticized fifth.If it deduces its concept of God only from what human beings expect of God and only looks for the desires which human beings try to satisfy through religious ideas.
第三点，如果宗教试图让人完全放弃人类到今天为止所达到的自主跟机灵成熟，而且要主张人需要上帝跟宗教，如果没有上帝跟宗教的话，生命就有问题的话，这类宗教是应该受到批判的。第四点，假如宗教去除人改造世界的责任，那基督教上帝正好跟宗教人士所期待的这个上帝相反。假如潘华所说的是对的，那么宗教就是应该要受到批判。而且第五点，假设宗教的上帝观只从人对上帝所期望的内容当中导引出来，假如他只探求那些透过宗教观的宗教的观点才能满足的需求的话，这样的宗教需要受到批判。
Because Bonhoeffer's own sketch of religionless Christianity not at all means godlessness and the abolishing of the hereafter, and at the same time criticizes Fowle's form of the critique of religion.Accordingly, critique of religion has to be criticized in the following cases. First, if it thinks that the intrinsic value of the world can only be secured by abolishing God, and thus only sees the world and God as rivals. Second, if it thinks that the intellectual and ethical autonomy of human beings can only be guaranteed through the elimination of God. And third, if it assumes that as soon as we have found out to which human desires religion reacts, then it would also be proven that God doesn't exist.
潘霍华对于无宗教基督教的这种简短的描述，绝不是译者，绝不是说要把上帝还有这个来生取消。那在这种意义上，他同时批判宗教的批判的一些错误的形式，也就是刚我们前面所讲的那个它不仅具有那些效果，而且具有对那些无神论形式的这种宗教批判具有意义。那下列的一些宗教批判是应该受到批判的，假如这类的宗教批判指的是说世界本身的价值只有透过废除上帝的方法才能够确保的话，也就是把上帝跟世界视为竞争对手的话，这类的宗教批判应该受到潘霍华的理论的批判。第二个，假如他所指的是人在智力跟伦理的方面的自主性只有透过废除上帝的方法才能够获得保障的话，那这种宗教批判也应该受到批判。第三点，假如他假定一旦人们发现人的哪一些方面的需求会产生哪一种宗教反应的话，那么也显示出上帝不存在。那潘霍华的宗教批判可以批判这种宗教批判。
Is Bonhoeffer's theology still relevant today? In my view, it is. His diagnosis that people can't be religious anymore is not true for our time. His diagnosis is not in keeping with the times.But his claim for a religionless Christianity, for a faith which does without the idea of a metaphysical God, which not only focuses on inner sensitivities, which doesn't try as fast as possible to reach the hereafter without being affected by this world, a claim for such a faith still is relevant. It is a faith which takes seriously the world in its variety and wholeness. Only such a faith as well takes seriously that God has become human, hung on the cross, and rose again. And that by doing this, God took care of this world.
我们再回到前面所提的问题，潘霍华的神学还契合时代吗？我认为他的神学是契合时代的，虽然他的预测不符合我们这个时代，但是他的预测就我们今天的情况而言，他对于非宗教的基督教对于信仰的要求，也就是放弃形上学上帝的这个观点，不仅专注个人的内心世界而已，还有不仅尝试不沾染世俗而进入彼界的这些等等，那对于他这种信仰的要求，这些是合乎时代的。那这是一种严肃看待世界多元性跟整全性的一种信仰，只有这种信仰才能够严肃的看待这些，看待上帝成为人，上帝从在十字架上面受苦并且从死里复活的这些事实，上帝为了这个世界亲自来到这边。
So thank you very much for your attention and patience.
谢谢各位的聆听。